You're listening to UCB Ireland and you're here with me, Michaela. I am joined with a very special guest today, Alan from Tiglin. Alan, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Michaela.
Alan, it's great to have you here with us today. We have seen a lot of traction online about you guys. I've heard about you previously. For our listeners who are listening in, can you just explain to them a little bit the history and the concept of the organisation Tiglin and what you guys do?
Okay, yes. So as you said, I work with Tiglin, which is a charity. It was founded as a rehab centre in the Wicklow Mountains, but in 2008. But since then, it's expanded, and now there's seven different centers that deal with various societal issues. The center that I work in is called The Lighthouse. We are located on Pierce Street, just next to Trinity College, and it's a homeless cafe. We're always very busy, but we've been particularly busy in the last 2 years. With the last 6 months, the numbers of people using our service has just skyrocketed. There is some days we have up to 500 people coming in.
Wow.
To put it in perspective, we're open 7 days a week for the day, for the afternoon, and the evening service. And then the weekends are a bit different. we get more than 3,000 people. We put out more than 3,000 meals every week.
Wow.
The reason for this increase has been the international protection applicants' rough sleeping crisis. As you might know, most of these individuals are, let's say, camping outside of the international protection office.
Yes, yeah.
Which is literally 5 minutes away from us. So we just gets very hectic.
Yes,
The Dublin has it's very good in terms of. Let's say food and all these basic supports that you get. So between Monday and Friday, you have your choice. Pick your choice wherever you want to go. If you need a shower, you go to one place. If you need to wash your clothes, you go to another place. So on and so forth. But then all these services close around 6 in the evening. So what happens is this homeless community that's growing by the day, literally by the day, the only place that they have that they can go to is us at the Lighthouse. So every day just before we open, I mean, there's massive queues, and the queues are getting longer by the day. So right now, before we open, there's queues that's like all the way to the Trinity Hotel. So there would be like at least 100 people waiting to get in.
Wow.
So we've kind of it's a relatively small building. So the way we operate at the minute is that there's a lot of pressure on the kitchen, on everything, because we depend on volunteers and donations. But to go beyond that, the way we do it at the minute is we let people in. They sit down, they have the food, whatever they want. We also give out the clothes and toiletries. And because it's so busy, you're full inside, and then there's a huge queue outside, and we know there's a huge queue outside. So you end up saying to everyone, as soon as you're done with the food, please move on. And then that kind of keeps going until we close.
And from where you are at the Lighthouse, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because me myself, my previous career was in homeless accommodation and in addiction services. And it was something that I very much came across very often, is they have to be out at a particular time, and even in some places they're not allowed return until a particular time. So you really are, you know, serving a huge gap in that community when a lot of the services close at say 6-7 p.m. and they have these 4 or 5 hours where they're kind of there's nowhere for them to go, nothing for them to do. And obviously you function as a cafe, but I can assume that with the amount of numbers having to ask people to, you know, to move on so quickly, I guess it's kind of disrupting the culture of maybe the heart behind of what the cafe, you know, is. So what is a daily, you know, kind of day in the Lighthouse? Like, what kind of services are you providing? What kind of interactions are happening there? Just for our listeners to get a little bit of an insight.
Yeah, well, I'll kind of explain it from an outside perspective. The cafe is kind of split into two levels. So upstairs you have the cafe, where you have the kitchen, you have the seating area, You have the tea and coffee station, clothes a station where we give out clothes. So that's always up and running 7 days a week, day and night. And then you have the downstairs area, which is the referral hub, as I call it. So what we have over there is we have key workers, we have assessment workers. So this is all mainly focused on addiction. And
Yes.
I'll kind of try to paint the image because you'll see the different, let's say, different eras between the new homeless and the old homeless kind of situation. So what we do downstairs is the assessments for our rehab center, and that's always been busy. I mean, you probably have at least five, six, seven people to have they get their slot, to have an assigned person who's gonna do this meeting with them, and it's a very extensive questionnaire. So based on the person's needs, we're kind of able to communicate with all the organizations in the city. So a lot of them would be going to our rehab center, and there's a way. You always have 50 people, men and women, different centers, but you have about 50 individuals, and then you have the waiting list that's probably around the same number. And that's a big machine, and it's very extensive. And I would encourage everyone to look into Tiglin and what we do, because it's sometimes people kind of come to us and they're in addiction, and then the end process can be quite impressive. Education. I myself was a service user. I was homeless 8 years ago, so I didn't have any addiction issues. But through the help of Tiglin, I was able to get into education, and now my brother as well. We're on our second master's and all that sort of stuff. So
Wow, that's incredible.
it's very important work, and it kind of we try to do our best.
And congratulations on your progress and where you're at. And it's amazing that you commend Tiglin for joining that. And that's what I think is a very good thing that you're highlighting there, is a lot of people maybe only see one side of a service and don't realize how multifaceted it is and how many different things are happening in many different areas of the service. And if that way it gives people, I guess, more of a mindset of the costs and the demand that can be expected then, because you're providing so much for medical and food and meals and education and so on and so forth. So obviously it's no doubt that you've explained to us there's a huge demand there, and I'm not surprised. But for people who are listening in, and I feel like we are at a really, really pivotal moment in our society where people's hearts more than ever really yearn for people in homelessness and people in addiction, and there's so much compassion. How can people who want to get on board, who want to do something, who want to support, what can people do to help you in this crisis?
Yeah, well, look, oftentimes when you are talking to people, you're kind of talking to individuals. But I think in this case, if I have this platform, I would like to, I suppose, speak out to businesses and institutions. I think we have a shortage in resources in every department. And even if you look at the building, it's been good for what we've been doing for the last few years. But now we're using every square inch of the place, and it's too small. So that's one. If there's anyone out there who thinks they can point us in the right direction or help in any way, if you're talking about any property or anything, yeah, please do reach out to Aubrey McCarthy, who's our chairman, or you'll be able to find him. He's all over the place doing a lot of work. And then one thing, if I can say, is we're very short on cups, paper cups. So we get no funding from the government for any of the utilities that we need, daily utilities. So we purely depend on donations at the minute because of the numbers that we are experiencing, and the amount of cups you can, tea and coffee that you can give out is just, I think it's 60 cents per cup, and when that's coming from, donations, it's very unsustainable. So those would be two very tangible ways people can, if you're a business or an institution out there, that you can kind of, you can get involved. And then beyond that, we always have corporate teams. I was just on a call this morning. This lady has worked with a company, and she said she has 50 people who are looking to volunteer. So we kind of have corporate teams that come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a slot. You get a team of 10 people. I mean, you can really do a lot in a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, the people that work here, it's a very, very small number, and we have over 100 volunteers. So we really need all the help that we can get. Also, one of the shortages really at the minute is just food.
Mm-hmm.
So all the time we're calling up different places. If there's any deals, if there's any meats, if there's any meats that aren't being sold,
mm-hmm.
and you can give us a good deal, please do. So yeah, what can people do at the minute? Well, look, we have different things that we do that uplift people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we have is our cinema night. Second point is we have guest musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anyone out there that is into music or knows anyone that will be willing to come in,
yes,
just
absolutely
tell them about the Glen.
Yes,
about the Lighthouse.
A big call out there for that, because it's wonderful to provide the physical needs, you know, the shelter, the food and that kind of a support. But it's so huge as well to have that other side where you can listen to some music, where you can watch a movie and have those other, you know, basic human simple needs fulfilled emotionally, you know. And that's a big part that you have to cover as well. So for all musicians and anyone who can provide anything that maybe is any form of an entertainment or something to come and uplift people's spirits and just inject a little bit of joy alongside the service, that would be amazing. So definitely a call out to all of those people listening in, for sure, Alan.
Yeah, certainly. And when you're talking about charities, you'll always be talking about donations. And I don't want to be asking here people for money, but what I am saying, if there's any ideas that you have, anything at all, we can get something that's very tangible, and we can always make something happen.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. And for anybody who's listening in and maybe they don't find themselves in a capacity to, you know, physically or financially help, how can our listeners pray for Tiglin and pray for the service? You know, what can be some of the points that we can be praying about,
yeah,
with your service?
Like I said, this is a very big societal problem, and I think it's a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can in any way kind of put out any prayers, hopefully something good comes out of it.
Yeah,
and we'll be listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Alan, thank you so much for coming on and for talking to us, and thank you so much for using your own story and your own motivation to get the word out about Tiglin and coming to talk to us. And thank you as a whole to Tiglin for what they do, and for being, you know, a light in the darkness of a homeless crisis, an addiction crisis as well, that is happening in our society right now. A big call out to anyone listening in. If you want to get involved, your heart is stirred by what you're hearing today and you want to help, Alan, where can people find out more information?
So if you go to tiglin.ie, that's a website, and then Tiglin at the Lighthouse would be our social media names.
Awesome. And even folks, social media, a like, a share, a comment, all that helps as well build traction and let people and make people aware of everything incredible that is happening at Tiglin. Alan, thank you again. Thank you very much for coming on to us.
No problem. Thank you.